All right, we're in Mark chapter 8. The Pharisees have asked for a sign. Now, they don't really want one, but they keep asking for it anyway. They're just actually playing games trying to trap Jesus. And, whenever you think about it, it's pretty easy to dismiss them, to dismiss these Pharisees who are, I don't want to trap Jesus. They wanted to trap Jesus. I don't want to undermine his ministry, but they want to undermine his ministry. I'm Jesus' disciple. They're not his disciple. So it's pretty easy to dismiss them, but because the Pharisees are actually, they're kind of the bad guys in Scripture, in the New Testament anyway. At least that's how we think about it. But I think we have to be careful. Let's look at our text. Mark chapter 8. We're beginning in verse 14. And they had forgotten to take bread, and they didn't have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus was aware of this and said to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see, and ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? Or when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets of broken pieces you picked up?" They said, "7. And he was saying to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Mark sets this entire story up with forgotten bread. The disciples are ready to head across to across the sea, and it's going to be a long journey, several hours. And there's 13 of them, one loaf of bread, just one. Now, from where Mark tells us, it makes me wonder whether or not they realized that they didn't have any bread. I'm guessing that it's right after they get into the boat, because it's kind of like whenever you get out and you lock your car doors and you swing it shut, and about the time that you give it that push, you realize your keys are still in the ignition. You know that feeling? I'm guessing that that's what happened, that they get in the boat, and whoever was in charge of the bread, just as they're shoving off, reaches down and just instinctively, like you do for your wallet, he reaches down and touches the bag that the bread's supposed to be in, and he went, "Oh man, there's no bread. One loaf." And one of the disciples next to him must have seen it and something wrong. And just silently around the boat, you can just see this spreading, one to another, disciple to disciple, all of their eyes kind of getting a little bit panicked, because, they really don't want Jesus to catch wind of this. They don't want Jesus to realize that, they've messed something else up. I mean, they've done their fair share of looking silly lately, and they don't really need to do it anymore. So that you can almost see the wheels in their brains turning, and if Jesus asks us for bread, we'll just give him this loaf, and we'll all say, no, we're not hungry. All 12 of us, we're not hungry. He'll never know, really. They were kind of hungry. And you can kind of see the panic and the blame spreading around the boat. Who was supposed to bring the bread, But it's all going very quietly because they don't want Jesus to know. And then Jesus, as if he's been on some other boat or something, he's been staring off into the sea or something. And he turns to the disciples in verse 15. And he says, "Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Now, we're not sure why Jesus pairs leaven of Pharisees and leaven of Herod together, because these two groups, they don't really mesh very well. We know that eventually they come together to conspire against Jesus, but we don't know why at this point he puts it together. But ultimately, Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And we understand from the context, it's pretty clear what he's talking about here. The Pharisees have just demanded a sign from Jesus. They've said, "Show us that you're from God. Show us again who you really are. Perform for us. We know you've done all these other things. Do this for us." Jesus calls that the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, leaven is it's one of the elements in a bread recipe. It's the element that makes it rise. And it's not just a packet of Fleischmann's yeast. You know, it's not just that. Although that counts, usually it's that you take a little bit of the bread from what you made last week, take a little bit of that dough, and you've kind of stored it away, and you mix it in with the new dough, kind of like we would do sourdough or the friendship breads that were going around like crazy for a while back. But the point, and once you mix that in, then the whole lump of dough will rise. Well, Jesus' point here is that this leaven, if it's mixed into the batch, if it's all mixed into the batch, then it goes completely throughout it, and it changes the whole thing. He says, so if you get a little bit, just a little tiny bit, of what these Pharisees are peddling, it'll go all the way through you, and it'll destroy you. And so he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Be careful not to slip in their ways. Don't test God. Don't demand a sign. Show some faith and know who Jesus really is. The disciples, they're listening to Jesus, and they hear him say, beware of the leaven. And they went, wait a second. You know, I think they stopped listening to anything else he said there because he said leaven. You know, all they could think about at that point is bread. You know, they're sitting there going, who's got the bread? We got no bread. What are we going to do? We got no bread. And then Jesus says something about leaven. And you know, whenever you've got something in your head, it's hard. You kind of twist everything around you like it's all about that. You know what I'm saying? Everything you hear is in light of that. It's like if you wake up and you've got a huge old zit right on the end of your nose. You know what I'm talking about, right? No, never mind. Probably not. It's like if one of your kids does. But and every time you're talking to somebody, you know that they're looking at your nose. I mean, and you go to work and somebody says, I was coming to work and I got stopped at a red light and it was just about to kill me. And you're going, that's what he's talking about. I know he's talking about my nose. You're shopping and they go, clean up in aisle 4. You know. It's you. They're all coming after you. They know everybody's talking about you. You can't get around it. Somebody says, hey, that's a really nice shirt. And you're thinking, they're just really trying not to look at my nose. That's it. The disciples have this great big pimple on their nose. They've forgotten the bread. They didn't have enough bread for the journey, and it was their responsibility. And they know that everybody in the boat is thinking about that. And they're feeling guilty. And so now Jesus is talking about leaven. They know that he knows. And he's just kind of playing games with them. He's just, you know, like a cat with a mouse. You know, have you ever felt like God's playing games with you? You know, it's like he knows the things that you struggle with. And he throws some of them at you. And after you deal with them for a little bit, he throws a little bit more at you. You ever feel like that? You know, and no matter what you do, you're just constantly frustrated. And it's like God's out to get you. You know, it's like you sleep in one Sunday and you skip church. And pretty soon, Tom's calling you on the telephone. And he's saying, hey, we missed you on Sunday. And you're thinking, man, he's out to get me. And then you're going along that week and, I mean, you have a little fender bender and you think, God is out to get me. I slept in a little bit and he just won't let me. Share group leader calls you and says, hey, you know, we're having a party. Would you like to come? And you're thinking, they're just all out to get me. You come to church and I'm telling a story about somebody who slept in last week. And you're thinking, that was me. He's talking about me. You know, you feel like it's like God is out to get you. It's like he's got you in his sights. Ever felt like God was playing with you a little bit? Like you forgot the bread. And now Jesus can't stop talking about leaven. He can't stop talking about bread. It's like we got it already. Please, we get it. We forgot the bread. Now drop it. Leave it. Let it go. Finances are tight. Tighter than they've ever been before. And then you get a call from your accountant. Says, you know, you owe the IRS thousands of dollars more than you thought you would. God, it was really tight before. What are we going to do now? You know, we haven't got the money. God, don't you get that? Don't you understand? I mean, we got it. You know, we should have managed our money better, but we didn't. We get that now. People talking about Dave Ramsey. We get it. Preacher says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We get it. I understand. But it feels like God is just playing games with us. You know, where are we going to get the money? I mean, we've already got everything budgeted out. We know how, things were tight before. We're doing everything that we can to make it work. Are we going to have to go to jail? Are they going to seize our house? Where are our children going to go? We don't have the money for that. Ever felt like that? A year ago, your husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He's gone downhill fast. And you're doing everything that you can to take care of him. And, you know, you have the same conversation over and over and over and over. You clean up his messes. You change his diapers. It's all part of till death do we part. But now you're sitting in the doctor's office, and there's a lump the size of a golf ball in your breast. How much more can I take? Who's going to take care of your husband? God, don't really need this right now. There's no way I can deal with this. I don't have the energy. I don't have the time. I don't have the strength. There's no one who can help me. I can't do it. It's too much. We've only got bread for one, but there's 13 of us. What are we going to do? The Bible says they began discussing it amongst themselves. They didn't really want Jesus to know, so they're just discussing it among themselves. Verse 17, but Jesus, he was aware of this, and he said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? He knows. Jesus knows. And he says, you don't understand? What do you mean you don't understand? You don't see? Then he says, do you have a hardened heart? He asks, do you have a hardened heart? How does he think this of us? How does he, we're just out of bread. That's it. You know, all we did was we forget. We didn't get enough bread. You know, we're trying to make do with what we have. Why would you be so hard on us, Jesus? How can he think that of us? All we're trying to do is figure out how to pay the IRS. We're sinking here. We're really sinking. We're struggling. It's one thing after another, after another, after another. It's doing everything we can just to keep our head above water. And you're asking, don't you see? Don't you understand? Do you have a hard heart? What are you thinking, Jesus? How can you think of us that way? All I'm trying to do is take care of my husband. That's it. And you think I have a hard heart? I'm just trying to take care of my husband. I'm just trying to care for him until he dies. Now I have cancer. What's going on here? It's more than I can handle. I am not doing well. And you're asking, why don't we see? Why don't we understand? Do we have a hard heart? How can he think that of us? We just forgot the bread. We just forgot the bread. We're trying to make do with what we have. How can he be so hard on us? You can imagine the frustration of the disciples. Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Remember. Do you not remember? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? 12. Do you remember when I broke the 7 for the 4,000? How many large baskets of broken pieces did you pick up? 7. He says, do you not remember? Do you not remember whenever Israel came out of Egypt and they were hungry? Do you not remember when I fed them with bread from heaven? Do you not remember? There were 5,000 people out in the wilderness. You were there. Do you not remember that I took the bread and I broke it and I fed all 5,000 of them? And you ate and there was enough for you to pick up and have enough to eat the next day? Do you not remember whenever I broke the bread for the Gentiles? 4,000 of them. And then you picked up enough bread that you could eat for weeks on that amount of bread. Do you remember that? Do you not remember all of the times that I met your needs? I know the IRS is breathing down your neck right now. But do you not remember the time when you were out of work and I sent a lady to you and she gave you enough money that you could live? Do you not remember the time when you were homeless and I provided you with a home in the basement of some of my people? Do you not remember the time when you didn't know how you were going to have the money to live and I gave you that idea? Do you not remember whenever the money seemed to be drying out and I gave you the plan you currently have? Do you not remember that I have carried you all along? Do you not remember? I know the cancer seems overwhelming right now. But do you not remember the time when you were first married and your husband was in that car accident? It was touch and go for a while. But I healed him. Do you not remember when your boy was little and he got under the sink and he got into the poison? I cared for him. Do you not remember? Do you not remember how when your husband first started getting sick, you guys had that vacation all planned, all your kids, grandkids together? It was the trip of a lifetime. Memories. Do you not remember? Do you not remember how through every step of the Alzheimer's, I have been with you all the way? Do you not remember? Do you not remember 5,000 people fed? Do you not remember? Don't you think that I can handle 13 guys and 1 loaf of bread? I think that's the leaven of the Pharisees. I think that's it, that they didn't remember what they'd already seen. You know, all they could remember, they couldn't remember anything. All they could see was where they were right then. Right now. All the Pharisees could see is that Jesus is undermining what they want to do, and all they could see is, I want to trap him. Their mind never remembered. All the disciples could do was think about their bellies. They're hungry. All they could do is look at the 1 loaf of bread and 13 mouths. Their minds could not remember. All we can think about is the IRS. Our minds don't remember. All we can think about is the cancer because our mind doesn't remember. All we can think about is what we can see right now because our mind doesn't remember. All we can think about is bread because our minds can't remember. Our faith cannot rest on right now. It just can't do it. If our faith rests on right now, we will always demand a sign. It just can't do it. If it's based on right now, we're in trouble. Because faith is about remembering. It's about remembering what God has done. That's why Israel celebrated the Passover every year. It's why every Sunday we partake of the Lord's Supper, because we want to remember. It's why we baptize people. It's why we tell our stories to one another. It's why we share our testimonies with each other. It's so that we can remember. It's why we have a Bible that's full of remembrances. It's so that we can look back and see. I think it's why we have memory in the first place. You see, faith is about remembering, and remembering lets us bring faith into the presence, into the present, and it allows us to have faith for the future. Remembering helps faith to trust and remember God's provision. And so I can face the IRS. I remember God's protection so I can have faith in the midst of cancer. I remember that God has fed us over and over and over, and so I trust Him even though I have only one loaf of bread. I remember God's love for me, and so I trust Him in the midst of whatever I'm going through. Verse 21, Jesus asks a question. He says, "Do you not yet understand?" He says to them, "Do you understand?" Do you? Do you understand? With all the stuff that you're going through, do you understand? I think I do.